Okay, this is a summary from our shiur on Shabbos Parshas Chukas. We started on Tesamud Beis 9b at the middle of the page. We're talking about a man's credibility when he claims Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. He claims that he had initial relations with his wife. At the time that they got married, he believed that she was a Besula. Now he says, L'matzasi Besulim, there were Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. He seems to be saying that there was no hymen. We'll have to talk about that and refine that a little bit further along. And the issue is the man's credibility insofar as it impacts on the ksuba. We already talked about earlier in the Gemara the question of whether his statement can prohibit him to have relations with her, because maybe he is alleging that something happened that should, in fact, prohibit them to each other maritally. Now we're talking about the question of whether he is able to cause tuba that is associated with a besula, separate from prohibiting them to each other. And Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel HaOmer Pesach Pasuach Matzasi Ne'eman Lav Zida Ksubasa. Shmuel says, indeed, at this point, his testimony is able to cut down the ksuba amount. And that's really, really surprising. Because he has no proof. It's just his own say-so. Not only that, as the Gemara is going to note on Daf Yud, if we take the view that the purpose of the ksuba is in order to prevent or to discourage precipitous divorce by making him think carefully before making the payment, now you're giving him the tools to cut down severely on what that payment is. So that's really surprising that he should be able to make that statement and be believed. So in terms of understanding why he's believed, we'll see on Daf Yud that it's because of a chazaka. It's because of a psychological assumption we make regarding human behavior. Specifically, he wouldn't go to all the trouble of marrying her and then undermine everything, costing him the wedding meal, and more than the wedding meal, but everything, with a false claim. He wouldn't do that. And this is part of a pattern of psychological chazakos in the Gemara. We make certain assumptions about the way human behavior works. We mentioned some of them in the shiur today. We mentioned them already last week, such as saying that if a woman comes to Beis Din and says that her husband died and she wants to remarry, we believe her. The price of getting caught in the event that she's not telling the truth and the original husband shows up and she has remarried is so high, there's no way that she's going to lie about that. So that's what we're saying here as well. We believe him. Plus, Tosfos makes the point that we have a principle, Oki Mamona Bechezkas Mare, you keep money in the possession of the person who currently has it. So she claims, pay me the ksuba of a besula. His response is, I didn't think you were a besula, and we'll keep the money where it is. That's that may be part of why this fellow is believed to make this statement. So Shmuel says he is able to cut down severely on the ksuba by making this statement. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, my kamash malan, what exactly did Shmuel teach me? I already knew that. We're now eight lines up from the bottom. He says, Tanena, we have a brisa which says the following, Ha'ochel etzel chamiv b'Yehuda shalo be'edim eino yochol liton tanas besulim epneishim isyachid ima. This is talking about the practice in Yehuda. We mentioned the practice in Yehuda already a while ago. We said that whereas normally we say that a man and woman are prohibited to each other until they have full nisuin, chuppah, sheva brachos, whatever, in Yehuda, they actually would seclude the young man and woman together in advance. Why would we seclude them together? So we had a discussion about this. Maybe it was Davka, it was specifically because we wanted something to happen between them. That way, when the Roman general came along and tried to abuse her in advance of the wedding, the answer would be, well, she's not a basula, she doesn't go to you. We had various explanations for why this was done, but it was done in Yehuda. Well, since they were alone together in the region of Yehuda in advance of the wedding, says the Brisa, once he has gone to eat at his in-laws in Yehuda, and there were no witnesses, there were no chaperones when he was with her, Eino yachalit on tanas besulim, he's now no longer able to make a claim of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, mipnei shemisyachid ima, because he is alone with her. So once he's been alone with her, he has no credibility to say, hey, she's not a besula. Yeah, you know she's not a besula. It's because of what you did. So that's the quote. So now playing that out, Rabbi Yosef says, Be'ahuda hu delo matzitain. In Yehuda, he's not able to make such a claim. Habagalil matzitain. But that tells me that in other regions, he is able to make the claim. Yehuda, right, is the area of Yerushalayim and points south. Galil is the area further north in Israel. And in Galil, he is able to claim Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. So that shows me Pesach Pasuach Matzasi works. Because it says he's able to make such a claim. Now, you might say to me, well, there are different arguments of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. There is the argument of, there were no besulim, and therefore I don't have to pay her the ksuba of a besula. However, there is also the argument of, there were no besulim, and therefore we are prohibited to each other. So the Gemara says, ulamai, what would be the purpose of him saying Pesach Pasuach Matzasi and being believed? Ila osra alav, if it's to prohibit relations between them, Yehuda my love, then I should believe him everywhere, including in Yehuda. If this guy was alone with her, and let's say something happened, and then he comes to Beis Din and he says, we are prohibited to each other because Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, our answer is going to be, well, okay. You're claiming that nothing happened. When you were alone with her, you're claiming that now you were shocked to find that she isn't a Basula, and therefore you should be prohibited to each other. So look, you know, that's your problem if you want to make such an allegation. And okay, fine, we prohibit you to her. We're willing to believe him for that. So we would believe him even in Yehuda. So that can't be what we were talking about. Elalav lahafsida ksubasa. It must be that we're talking about costing her the ksuba. And you're telling me it's believed. Dekatoin tana, he is making the claim of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. So, my love, dekatoin tana is Pesach Pasuach. Doesn't that mean that it's where he says that there were no besulim? And look, he is believed. So I don't need Shmuel to tell me that he's believed to cost her the ksuba. I have a brisa that says that other than in Yehuda, he is believed. To which the Gemara says, not necessarily, because there are two different types of claims, not types of claims, two different statements that he might make in claiming that there's a problem here. One possibility is what we've been talking about before, which is the claim that there is no hymen. The other is, as the Gemara says, de katoin tanas damim. He claims that there was no blood when they had relations the first time. What's the difference between claiming that there were no besulim, there was no hymen, and claiming that there was no blood? So, you could, you know, spin this in different ways, and we talked about it a little bit in the shir, but basically, the issue is the credibility of his claim. Meaning, a man who has never been married before shows up and says, we had relations, and there was no hymen, we might look at him and say, you know, there was, you just didn't know. You didn't know what to look for, so to speak. On the other hand, guy shows up and he says, there was no blood. So, you know, that people are generally speaking able to detect. So there's greater credibility when somebody says there was no blood. So therefore the Gemara says, I'll tell you what Shmuel was adding. The Brisa said he is believed if he says there was no blood. That's a low bar. What Shmuel is adding is he's even believed when he says that there were no besulim. Either way, the upshot is that he is able to claim, hey, she is not a besula. You know, when we had this conversation, so Alan pointed out in the shir that, you know, why exactly is he making this claim? It really fits a little bit later on in the Gemara, but I'm putting it in here. Why is this fellow making the claim at this point, if not that he intends to divorce her? Is it really that he intends to divorce her? So keep that in mind as we read the next piece in the Gemara. Take a look at the top of Yud Amud Aleph. That's what we are up to right now, and we are going to talk about whether the ksuba is biblical or rabbinic. And the reason why this is important here is because of the point that I made in the beginning of the shir, which is, if this is rabbinic, it's an enactment that's meant to slow down his attempt to divorce her, make him think a little bit because he's going to have to make a payment. And again, you're subverting that by believing him to reduce it by claiming that there were no besulim. So that's why the question of whether ksuba is rabbinic or biblical matters. Sa itmar, top of Yud Amud Aleph. Amr of Nachman, Amr Shmuel. Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Nachman quotes Shmuel, quoting Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Chachamim tiknu lahem libnos Yisrael libesulam asayim ula almana mana. The Chachamim enacted that the ksuba should be 200 zuz for a besula, 100 for an almana, v'heim he'eminuhu shim amar pesach pasuach matzasi ne'eman, and they believe him that when he says pesach pasuach matzasi, he is credible. In other words, it's a rabbinic enactment to pay the ksuba, and the rabbis who enacted it said, also, we believe him. So the Gemara says, Im Kain, our question, Mahu ilu chachamim betakanasim, what was the point of the takana? So Amar Rava chazaka ein adam tarech besu'uda umafsida. Rava says, because, and this is the point that I mentioned earlier, we have a chazaka that he would not work on the su'uda. He would not do everything necessary in order to marry her in order to lose it. What does lose it refer to? It means lose the marriage. He's not going to do this in order to, he's not going to go through everything in order to now divorce her. How do I know that the cost of this would be to divorce her? So very clearly that's what Tosfos Chazaka believes. Because Tosfos Chazaka asks a question here. He says, Tema, I'm surprised. Tenach ba'ishes kohen o b'b'chusa mishalosh. He says, I understand. If we're talking about a woman who's married to a Kohen, and therefore his allegation that something happened, whether it was after Kiddushin or before Kiddushin, could actually be enough to eliminate the marriage. Then I understand what you mean when you say he wouldn't work so hard on marrying her and it'll lose the marriage. Or Bepchusami Gimel, where the Kiddushin was when she was so young, for so far in advance of the wedding. It was done when she was very, very young. Under 3 years old was when they had arranged the marriage. As we've already learned earlier, you're not allowed to do Kiddushin with a woman who is a minor. There's a requirement that she be old enough to consent. Nonetheless, in the event that they did it, it's actually valid. And historically, there were times when it was done for reasons of economics, which we've talked about. But the point is that if the Kiddushin happened when she was under the age of 3, so then the loss of the Besulim, under the Gemara's understanding that that Besulim that are lost under the age of 3 will still grow back. And therefore, if he doesn't find Besulim, it must be something happened after Kiddushin, and that will prohibit them to each other. Satosfo says, I understand in the very narrow set of cases, Eishes Kohen, and where she was under 3, that that he would actually be costing the marriage by doing this. And therefore we will believe him. However, Tosfos says, and I'm skipping a little bit in the Tosfos, he says that's not always true. That he's going to lose her, that the marriage is going to be destroyed by doing this. So therefore, your chazaka shouldn't work. So Tosfos says, Inachanami, you're right. Venira de Lomahem, and he says, in the event that his testimony would not, in the event that his testimony would not knock out the marriage, he would not have the chazaka, and therefore he would not be credible. He's only credible in a case in which the testimony destroys the marriage, and the reason why he's credible is because we assume he would not be doing this. So here I come back to Alan's question. I don't understand. Why is he doing this if not because he wants to end the marriage, right? Isn't that the whole point? If his testimony is going to cut down the value of the ksuba, what does he care if he's staying married to her? To which I would argue, then, I think this is the Gemara's assumption, that this is a little bit of a bizarre form of estate planning. His concern is the money going to perhaps her and then her children. Maybe he has children from a previous marriage. And so that's why he's trying to do this. But we assume that he would not try to actually end the marriage that he just worked on and created. So that's our statement for now in the Gemara. And that's why the Chachamim, who created the Ksuba as a means of protecting her, were willing to give him the means of undermining the Ksuba of a Besula. More to say on this, including the full discussion of whether it is rabbinic or biblical, coming, God willing, next Shabbos.